The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was an evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, and they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, and they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, and one of the disciples, the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, as you know, Thomas always gets it on this particular Sunday. The first and Sunday that shows up after Easter, and he's at it again. Well, maybe it's just that I think I'm way too much like and Thomas. I want to be healthily and skeptical about and promises that are made. I'm going to allow and Thomas to take a break. There are other things to consider in this text. It should be noted that when Jesus comes in this text, three different times he says, "Peace be with you." There would have been a question, what is this Christian life going to be like now that Jesus has been raised from the dead? Is it going to be like the good old days when Jesus and the 12 were walking down the road together, talking and visiting and eating and sharing and finding a place to sleep along the way and all of those kinds of things? What's it going to be like now? Well, it appears that Jesus can show up anytime he wants to. In and out of locked rooms, that's not going to be a problem. Jesus is just going to be around. Not all the time, and you can't depend upon when he will. But certainly that too is a part of the understanding that this risen Christ will not be completely like the pre-risen Christ. That there will be a new day. We should ask, what do we learn from here about what that's going to be like? It begins with peace. That the world itself, instead of all of those things that we see around ourselves, there will be peace. We will still know times of war, but even in those, there will be peace. We will know times of uncertainty, times of sickness and disease, pestilence, poverty, but there will be peace. This is the promise that Jesus gives to his disciples. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so I send you. This is not the kind of faith that calls us to sit in church on Sunday and consider that our work is done. Our work of faith is lived out, especially outside the doors of this particular place. It comes where we rub shoulders and elbows with people who come across our path. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Jesus sends us with exactly the same mission as he had, to proclaim a new life and peace and reconciliation. These are the kinds of things, the good news that we take into the world. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It comes with a promise that God will touch us. The Holy Spirit, that power of God that connects with each of us in various and in different ways, but certainly in the promise of God's and presence, that God works within our hearts, both as individuals and as communities of faith. The Spirit will be at work, bringing life and joy and all of those things, the fruit of the Spirit that we long for. This too will be a part of it. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. We have the power to set ourselves and one another free from the guilt of those things that we have done wrong. And we have the power to proclaim good news and health and healing, especially in those things that might be tempted to draw us into a self-destructive and cycle. Instead, Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. It's good to know. Thomas, of course, wasn't there at the time, but Jesus comes to see him too and makes the point of making the connection and says, I am here for you as well. For you who have your doubts, I am here. Come, see. Put your hand here. Put your fingers in my hand, in the marks of the nails, that you too might believe. We might wonder, how did this all take place? How did this work? Did the disciples get it? You would think that these 12 who had walked day after day along the streets with Jesus would have found it easy to have faith. And yet the record in Scripture doesn't show that at all. You wonder if they're ever going to get it. Are they ever going to figure out what this is about? Or are they just going to sort of be out there, you know, complaining about this or that, or arguing about who's the greatest, or trying to do great things on their own without prayer and wondering why it doesn't work? Time after time after time, we find the disciples in. You would think they had a real advantage, but they don't. Until this. After the day of Pentecost, which is yet to come in our story, of course, we find things changed. The book of Acts is actually called the Acts of the Apostles, those who had gone through this fundamental change for Peter, even in the midst and against the authorities of the religious community, stands up and instead of cowering like he did before a young girl in a courtyard, he stands up and says, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand by leader and savior that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." Peter finally got it. He's not the only one, though. John writes, "To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by the blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests, and serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." John gets it too. We might think this is a wonderful thing, but there's even more to come. When Jesus turns to Thomas and asks him, "Have you beloved because you have seen me?" He says this, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Jesus is already thinking about you. We are those who have come to believe even though we were not there to see it, even though we did not walk those streets of Jerusalem, even though we weren't there to see the great and miracles that were done, the feeding of the 5,000, or Jesus instilling the storm on the sea, or anything else like that. We have not been witnesses to that, but we have been witnesses to God's work within us as well. We can share what we have seen and heard. And by God's grace, we receive exactly the same thing that was given out in that room. We receive peace. We receive a mission. We receive the forgiveness of our sins. We receive the reconciliation that comes. We receive that idea that we are in this together with those who have not gone through the same experiences as we have. That Jesus Christ calls us together, this is a good thing to know, because there's a great deal of excitement around here. The possibility of and calling a new and pastor is indeed and something that gives us great joy. But you are not alone in this. As a community of faith, you are ones who possess these gifts. That whoever it is who comes and stands here in this, I have to say it, very privileged position to bring God's word. You are those who possess these gifts of peace and mission, and you do it together. Pastors and congregation, people of faith, sometimes and people of unfaith, sometimes people of faith outside the congregation. God works in such dramatic and wonderful ways that he speaks about our particular world, a world that has not seen and yet has come to believe. That's us. We have been touched by the Spirit of God. And we give thanks that this risen Christ and has not abandoned us to ourselves, but gives us these great gifts. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Amen.